The Driver Diversity Driver Development Program, an alumni of that program, wins tonight's race, also collects the 100th win for Chevrolet at Daytona International Speedway. Nick, historic night for you, your first NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series win. Walk us through that, those final laps from your perspective.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely a pretty wild race. Obviously, what happened to us earlier kind of set the tone for it. But yeah, right there, I mean, it was just classical Daytona, right? Overtime restarts, you know, the odds of us finishing under green weren't really well. So I knew I was going to have to pretty much take the lead on the white flag and hope they wrecked. And that happened. And yeah, it was kind of odd because, you know, our restart played out the same in consecutive restarts with the 7 and 71 getting connected and kind of getting too big of a lead. And literally the same thing happened. Me and the 17 passed him. So, yeah, that was kind of odd. I wasn't really expecting that to happen. Honestly, I kind of thought I lost the race there on the last restart. But, yeah, it worked out.
Okay, we're going to open up the floor for questions. You have a question, we'll get a wireless mic to you. We'll start here with Jacob.
Jacob Zielman, Race Face Digital. Nick, congratulations first off. Matt mentioned it right off the top, 20th anniversary of the Driver Diversity Program first kicking off, and for Rev Racing, pretty historic night for you to be an alumni of the program, but to be the one that's gone up to trucks and taken this leap with Max. What does this win mean for the organization as a whole?
Yeah, I definitely think it's big, and obviously Max, I've been with Max since 2017 in Legend Cars, so we've come up through the ranks together, you know, from grassroots all the way to here. And, you know, this is his first win in the truck series. And yeah, it's pretty cool because I know it's just going to put more eyes in Rev Racing, more eyes in the program, and showing that it works and it's proven. And now our goal is to do this on Sunday. So
maybe something that doesn't, you know, even you don't necessarily talk a whole lot about, but I know is important to you is your family heritage. You become the, I believe, the second driver of Cuban descent to win a national series race. You join Eric Almirola in that category. Pretty exclusive club, but what's it mean to you just to carry that on and kind of let, you know, let this be your mark a little bit?
Yeah, it's definitely cool, you know, to be a little different in that sense, right? Sanchez, and, you know, when a lot of fans see me, they definitely notice that, right? I might not look it, but I'm very much Cuban-American. And, yeah, to do it in Daytona, that's, you know, I wouldn't call it a home-home race, like a homestead, but we're pretty, I would say we're pretty close, right? You know, there's a lot of Latin fan base here, so it's pretty cool to get it here, of all places. And yeah, awesome.
Steven Sump, Frenchers.com. Nick, congratulations on the win. Last year, you guys were so close on many occasions. I think back to that Texas race and that final restart. You won 5 poles, led a ton of laps. Did all the heartbreaks you guys had last year, did that make this one even sweeter to finish it off?
100%. It definitely did, right? Because you look at my stats from last year, and every box is checked, I guess, but a championship and a win, right? You know, stage wins, laps led, sweeping, everything, right? You know, we did everything. We were up front every week, and it never panned out. And, you know, I take the blame for a lot of it, you know, small mistakes. And I knew this year, you know, I didn't have the rookie excuse, right? You know, you can't make the same mistake twice. And I feel like I definitely lost Atlanta last year on my end. And, you know, hopefully I redeem myself tonight on that. So I definitely, you know, rank this one up there with Atlanta as races that probably should have won, that we won. So a little redemption from there. And yeah, I mean, I'm just happy to get the first one, right? You know, the first one, my opinion, is always the hardest, and it's even harder when you're so close and you lead laps and you do everything but win. It really sucks to get poles and all that stuff and not come back with trophies.
And then at the end of last year, I know there's a lot of pressure for you guys to point your way into the playoffs. You ended up going pretty far. How much of a relief is it also to just, you know, have that locked in right now?
Yeah, I mean, it's huge, right? We don't have to worry about it. And I was points racing all last year. And when I made the playoffs, then it just reset and it started over again. And it, you know, you can't really take risks in a series like this with a point situation like this. You know, I think I finished 26th or worse the first two races last year. And I'm pretty sure I was like 30th in points going into Atlanta. So not a good position. And today, you know, it didn't really start off much better with our stage point scenario. But I think, you know, it's just the part of maturing as a race car driver and realizing, you know, give up some stage points to just go for the win at the end. And, you know, when it's time to execute, execute.
Go next to Zach.
Zach Sterniello, NASCAR.com. Nick, congratulations on this. What was this offseason like from your perspective? What did you feel like you needed to work on to be able to get to this point and close the deal?
Yeah, I mean, for me, honestly, I've been working on my stage threes, right? You know, speed, stage one, stage two, all of that for me is fine. You know, I feel like I was green in a lot of sense last year, and I wouldn't let the race come to me. You know, I'd try to be on top of it, but in that process, I'd kind of lose the race in a way. So I, you know, just a lot of studying, a lot of looking at debriefs, and just honestly approaching this year with a mentality of driving, right? You know, I really didn't look at a lot of film for this race. You know, I wanted to kind of drive intuitive, not really by a book, and just kind of wanted to merely drive and have fun. And I feel like that's when I'm at my best.
And back.
Kenneth Weno, Capital News at FIU. First of all, Nick, congratulations on the win. Great job there at the end. I want to talk about the intuition that you mentioned and not really watching a lot of film in preparation for tonight's race at Daytona. How much did you dig in terms of the experience on that intuition from, like you said, the poles that you've accrued here at Daytona, the race that you had here last year where, you know, ultimately didn't go your way at the end? How did that experience help you, especially in that final restart, to give you the sense of, okay, I got this going to the checkered flag?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just, you know, you go off of feel, right? You know, there's a lot of things that pointed for me, you know, to pick the top or to do this or do that. And, you know, me and my spotter, Derek Nealon, we just felt like what we did was the right thing. And even I questioned it at the last minute and he reaffirmed it. And that's just us, you know, living in the moment and just kind of taking it step by step, you know, not getting ahead of ourselves. And I think that's the best way to race. And the best plan here is to have really no plan. And last year I had a plan. I rode around and it rained and there's no good way. And it didn't start off too hot in the race with pretty much getting collected in the wreck, but I guess that's Daytona, right? You know, you're spinning one time, winning the other, I don't know.
And speak of Daytona, I remember the conversation late last season at Homestead about winning at your home race, right, as a Miami native coming to Homestead and Miami Speedway. While you weren't able to get the win last season there, I mean, talk about the specialty of still winning at a track as prestigious as Daytona in a state that you were born in, a state that you grew up and raised in as well.
Yeah, it's definitely cool. You know, even though it's not in my hometown, it definitely hits home, right? You know, I've come to Daytona many times. You know, it's in Florida. Scenery, everything about it is Florida and is kind of like home for me. And, yeah, honestly, I really, if you would have asked me, you know, yesterday what winning at Daytona would have meant, I probably wouldn't have said a whole lot. And I'm pretty sure I've said that in an interview. And, honestly, after winning, it's pretty surreal. You don't realize how important it is till you do win here. And, yeah, now the goal is to do this, you know, on Sundays.
Go to Chris and then Davey.
Hey, Nick. Chris Gollum with WNDB. Congratulations on your first career win. You touched a little bit in the beginning that you were wanting to make sure you got out front on the final lap because you didn't feel really all that confident that it was going to end under green. You wanted to be in that position. But I saw at the time of the wreck, part of the reason why it seemed that your truck was clear of the wreck is because you had a couple truck lengths on the field when it started to occur. But we've also seen at Daytona where being out front a couple car or truck lengths on the last lap on the backstretch has led to getting overtaken on the last lap there. So when you kind of saw that distance, were you worried at all that if it did stay green, a run might come, or you feel pretty good about that spot?
I felt pretty good. And, you know, most of the restarts prior, I'd honestly kind of lifted off of two to, you know, kind of get back to his bumper. And you're pretty vulnerable when you do that. So my truck had a lot of speed, right? So I knew if they got to me, it was probably going to be off of four. And I much rather take my chances on losing it at the start-finish line than losing it on the backstretch under caution. So I've seen it replay in my head a million times, and I just try to drive.
Thanks, Nick.
Thank you.
Go next to Davey.
It's Davey Siegel with SiriusXM. Good Shabbos. I know that your family has gone through a lot to get to this point as well. What was the emotions that went through you when you saw your mom in victory lane?
Yeah, no, they were definitely excited. And, you know, obviously we've been so close so many times that they probably didn't want to get their hopes up. And I'm going to be honest, I kept telling myself I wasn't going to win it at the end because in my head I wasn't, and it worked. But, yeah, no, I think they're definitely going to enjoy it. You know, it's kind of like kind of feels like home for them. And my parents and grandparents here, so I think they're going to enjoy it a good bit.
You're also in the playoffs now.
Yeah.
How much of a weight lifted is that for you?
That's amazing. I'm tired of points racing. Obviously, you have to do it. But hopefully, I don't have to – or luckily, I don't have to points race until, what, September, whenever the hell that starts.
Go next to Matt and then to Bob.
Matt Weaver, SportsNot. One kind of big picture truck series question for you. The drivers meeting heading into the season and this weekend, I understand it was kind of a stern talking to it. I'm curious, what was your impression of that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was valid after Phoenix. You know, it was, that was a pretty wild race, and obviously none of us are innocent. So, yeah, no, I think it was good, and I think this was a good place to have that. You know, I know we had our wrecks, but there wasn't any silly things happening. And, yeah, I mean, the truck series could put on really good races when we're clean, but sometimes it gets out of hand. And, you know, obviously that's when NASCAR steps in. So I think it was definitely valid. You know, it wasn't a ass chewing. I hate to use that word, but it definitely wasn't an ass chewing. It was more like, you know, a warning. And I mean, I was a part of the race. I don't think it was really bad. I know there were some wrecks, but I thought the racing was pretty good. So I don't know. Hopefully we made him proud.
Go next to Bob.
Bob Parker's Fox Sports. Obviously, with the new Spire relationship, did it seem like this is a new team? Did it seem like an old team? Did it seem like a mix? And what does it mean to win kind of in that, if it is kind of a new team, to win on first time out?
Yeah, it was definitely a mix, you know, because there were so many constants that stayed the same. You know, I have four great guys that go to the track with me every week that, you know, they were the same ones that raced with me last year. You know, this is the same truck I ran at Talladega and Daytona, right? So I've been in it before. I've driven it. But at the end of the day, it is a new organization in a way, going from KBM to Spire. And, you know, we had three trucks in the shop, and now we have four trucks and three cup cars. So there's always going to be questions raised, you know, are you neglecting the truck program? Are you you focusing on cup? You have your hands in too many places. And hopefully we answered that today. And I think, you know, it's definitely as big for Rev Racing and myself as it is for Spire, because, you know, obviously they're building the trucks now, and we obviously share a mutual sponsor in Gainbridge. So I think it's big for all parties, and, you know, I think it'll translate to good things on Sundays.
Do we have any questions in the press box? Going once, going twice. Well, Nick, congratulations on the victory, and good luck as you head to Atlanta Motor Speedway next
Thank
week.
Thank you.
Take care.
Appreciate it.
Thanks for Friday, buddy.
Thank you.
Nicely done.